from Shvatach Eliyakov.
So his case is like this. Reuven purchased a carpet from Shimon. And Shimon's a carpet dealer. He's has a carpet store. And it had a 2-year warranty on it. After a year and a half, the Reuven noticed that there were spots. There were spots on the carpet. And they, what's it coming from? They did a test. So the Reuven, the buyer, said, this is, it's not waterproof. Water spilled on it, and the carpet was supposed to be waterproof, water resistant. And it wasn't, and because the water got into the carpet, it caused stains, and he should get his money back. And the carpet dealer said, it's only warranted for 2 years, and even though you say you discovered the damage within a year and a half, you came to me after the 2 years was up, and that constitutes you're not keeping with the warranty, and I don't have to pay you back. And number two, he said that it's not from the water, it's from something else, but that part we're not going to deal with. Let's assume that it was water damage, but it wasn't claimed until after the warranty was up. So 2-year warranty, and he claimed it after 2.5 years. In fact, the Nitva, the carpet dealer, says, because you didn't claim it in time, I can't even return it now to my distributor because they're out of business now. If you had done it within the 2 years, I could have taken it back. Now I don't have any recourse. So the shaila tonight is, what effect warranties have in halacha? Right, we learned until now that if there is a moment, if you buy something that's defective at the time of the purchase, you have the right to return it back. It's a mekach tos. You bought it on the condition that it would be good quality, and it's not good quality, you have the right to return it. If there's a warranty saying that you only had that right for 2 years, is that valid aliva dehilchasa? That's the question. I think to talk about warranties, first let's talk about mechila. Well, let's make it simpler. We're going to actually have 3 cases tonight. So we're going to go to another case, which the Mishpatei HaTorah talks about. And then we'll come, and this is let's just limit our discussion to mechila, and then we'll get to warranties. His case, or Spitz's case, is that someone signed to a contractor to purchase a house. I was talking, it was building new buildings, and he signed a contract to purchase that building, that new house, that new dira, and the contractor took him around and he saw the house, and at the end he told him, here, sign the contract, and the contract says you have no claims of damages. Do you got a handout over there? He said that there's no claims of damages, right? That was part of the contract, that you've seen the house and I'm selling it to you as is, you have no claims for damages. So he moved into the house, and after a little while he saw that some of the things we talked about last week, that when it started raining, it leaked, there was retivut from the moisture.
What is retivut?
Retivut is heresy salt. It's when it gets moisture.
Yeah.
It's moisture in the... We don't have that so much here, but it's something that in the plaster there gets moisture, and it's unhealthy for many people. So now he says, look, there's problems with this dira that I bought from you. And the contractor says, fine, but you said that you were not going to claim any. So let's look at this shaila before warranties, right? This is within the regular period. He moved in, and a month later it started raining, and he saw that the roof was leaking. There was retivut, there was problems. Do we say that since you were mochel, the woman, you can't claim it anymore? But that's the shaila. So Shvitz brings up a Feirush Rambam. It's next to the Rambam that we learned last week. The Rambam, first thing on the handout, says, Kol halokeach stam. If you purchase something without making any stipulation, Eina lokeach el davar hasholim mikol mum. We assume that you want to buy something that has no defects in it. I mean, Pirush HaMocher, even if the seller said, I'm selling it to you on the condition that you can't return to me. You can't return it to me when you find it defective. You can still return it to, because there's a mum in it. Why is that so? The only way it'll work is you have to do it in a way where you tell the buyer this merchandise is defective in such and such a way, where he knows what the mum is, and then he's mochel it. Or he says that I accept any defect in this merchandise, hapochis dama vakach vakach kibaltia, so as long as it's within $1,000, within a certain range of money. What's the bottom line? If you want to be mochel something, you have to know what you're being mochel and say it. Just like we learned 9 shiurim ago about Ona'a. Right? We learned about Ona'a. We brought from the Gemara Bava Metzia, Dafna Ona'a from the days, that by Ona'a, if there's something is overpriced and the seller says, I'm selling it to you on the condition that you don't come back to me and say there's Ona'a, right? The rules of Ona'a is if it's less than a sixth, it's Mechila. If it's exactly a sixth, you can return it. If it's more than a sixth, the whole Mekach is bottle. So if someone sells something to you and he says, it's overpriced, but I'm selling it to you on the condition that you don't use the rules of Ona'a to return it to me. So the Gemara says, and it's Paskin in by the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch, that is not a good mechila unless you're mefarish exactly how much it is. You say, look, the going rate on this thing is $1,000, but I need extra cash and I need to sell it to you for $1,300. So then it's a good mechila because you're telling the buyer exactly what he has to be mochel. But if you just say, this might be overpriced, or even if you say this is overpriced, but you don't say how much the overcharge is, so that the buyer does not know what he has to be mochel, so in that case, it's not called a mechila. And the Rambam says the same thing over here, tonight's topic, if it's a defect in the merchandise, and the seller says, I'm selling it to you on the condition that you waive your rights to return it based on a defect, that is not a good mechila until the buyer knows exactly what he is being mochel. You say, I'm selling you this car, but the engine is dead, so then it's a good mechila. If you say, I'm selling you my car as is, so then that's not kar mechila, doesn't know what to be mochel. Okay, so the Rambam, and this is Paskin Shulchan Aruch, Paskins, that mechila doesn't help by a defect unless you know what the defect is. Now it's an interesting machlokus Rishonim, what exactly the reason for that is. The Magen Mishnah on the second side of the handout says that it's like Ona'a. It's like Ona'a, that just like by Ona'a, what's the reason by Ona'a you can't be mochel unless you know what it is? Because if you go to someone and you tell him, look, this thing might be overpriced, but I want you to buy it on the condition that you don't come to me with the rules of Ona'a. So there the buyer is not sure whether it is overpriced or not. He's maybe, even if he says for sure it's overpriced, it could be that he's just trying to protect himself. You're not exactly sure whether there really is Ona'a here, so that's why it's not mechil. And the same thing is with a defect. You sell it to him on the condition that you don't come back to me because of defects. I'm not sure if there really is anything defective. You might just be trying to protect yourself. You might be just talking. You haven't said anything specific for me to know about. So the Magen Mishnah says that's why the mechila won't help, because I don't know if there's anything to be mochel. In fact, that's the Rambam's lashon. Shamochel tzarich leida hadavar shiim chabo. He has to know what there is to be mochel. However, the Torah understands the Rambam's lashitaso. The Rambam has a shita throughout Hilchus Mekach HaMemkar, that whenever you make a transaction on a davar she'eino katzav, on something that's not fixed, something that doesn't have a set amount of value, the kinyan is not valid. For example, you say, I'm selling you whatever's in that house, and the buyer has no idea what's in that house, so that's a davar she'eino katzav. The Rambam holds that's not a good kinyan. So same thing over here, just like you can't purchase something that you don't know exactly what it is, you can't be mochel something that you don't know exactly what it is. I mean, that's the Torah's reason. The Smag asks from that reason that the Shulchan Aruch paskins over here that it's not a good mechila by your na and by a defect unless you specify. But in the other halachas, the Sma brings a few different halachas where we don't pass them like the Rambam, and we hold that you can make a kinyan with a davar she'eino katziv. So he therefore says that he likes the Magamishas Svara, that ona and defects are different, because in those cases you don't know what there is to be malchol, not because it's a davar she'eino katziv. It's not because it's an inexact amount, it's because there might not be anything to be malchol. So there's these two reasons why mechila on a non-specific defect is not effective. Now there's a
Veshav HaKohen, a Shuvas Veshav HaKohen, the Rosh Hashiva.
Guterman recommended the Sefer, he likes it. In the back there's a whole section on Kachem, I think that's why he liked it. So he brings a nafkamina between the two reasons. Right, what's the difference between the two reasons? Right, there's two reasons why you can't be mochel something that's non-specific. One is because maybe there's nothing really here to be mochel, and the second is because any time you don't have a fixed amount, that's not transferable. You can't make a kinyan on it, you can't be mochel it. But what's the nafkamina between the two reasons? Right. The Veshava Kohen says the nafkamina is if you're honest with yourself and you know that deep down you were mochlet at the time that you purchased it. Suppose you know deep down that you were really, you wanted that car, you wanted that suit, you wanted that tape recorder, you wanted that set of svarim, and he said there might be a defect, and you said, I don't care, I really want it, I know it's the only one around, and I'm willing to purchase it, I have sentimental value with it, I want it no matter what, and deep down, you really were mochel the defect, and then you took it home, and you say, yeah, but a defect like that, I wasn't really mochel, and I'm sorry I was mochel, and now you want to take it back. So the Shava Kohen says, if you learn that the reason you can't be mochel, it is because we have a rule, when there's something that's not exact, that's not something that's transferable, it's not something that you can make a kinyan on, it's not something that you can be mochel, so then we don't care that you really deep down meant to be mochel at the time of the transaction, but it's something that's not fixed, it's a davar she'eino katziv, and that is something that you can't give to someone, it's not something that you can be mochel, even though you really meant to. But if you say, like the Magen Mishnah and the Sma, that the reason that you can't be mochel a defect is because you're not really sure whether there was something to be mochel or not. He didn't say for sure. Right? It's an ambiguous type of thing. But you know deep down that if there really was a defect, you were willing to be mochel it. So the Shava Kohen says, according to that reason, you would have to accept the defect as is because you really meant that mechila. So it's an interesting lumdus and the difference between the machlokas here. And it would be, it's the Pischei Tshuva brings it, la'alacha, that there is this nafkamina in halacha between the two reasons. But so far we have clear that if you are mochel amum, which you don't know about, you're just saying I'm waiving my rights to claim a defect, that does not count. And the Mishpatei HaTorah in his Shiloh over here says, even though you put it in writing, but here his case was a contractor sold the dira, he sold the house, and you signed a contract saying that you're not going to make any claims for defects. And that's more difficult because the Shulchan Aruch earlier in Siman Menhei Paskins, that whenever you sign a contract, you can't say afterwards, well, I didn't really know what was in it, it was such small print, and I didn't read it. Whenever you sign something, you're held accountable for it. And you can't say, well, I didn't understand it, I didn't realize. Your signature makes a opinion. It's accepting whatever's written there.
Who said that?
That's the Shulchan Aruch Pasuk. So Mishpatei HaTorah asks, so over here, where if you sign a contract where you say that you're not going to make any claims for defects, why is that not effective? That's his kasha. And he answers Pashit. Because over there, you signed a contract, all you have to do is read the contract and be patient and read it, or get someone who understands the legalese to explain it to you, and you can find out everything that's there. It's right there. It's just you're being lazy, you're being unskilled to read it, so you didn't do that. But over here, where you don't know what defect is there, you didn't see it, you don't, the rainy season didn't come yet, you didn't have time to inspect the whole thing. Right, there's nothing, you don't know what there is to be mochel, so even though you signed that you're waiving your right to any inspections, that is not a valid mechila, and even though you put it in writing, you could still go back to the kabbalin, go back to the contractor and say that these defects are major and I want my money back or I want them fixed. Right, so that's part one. Part one we're saying is that very simply, if you buy something from someone and the seller wants you to sign on the dotted line that you will not make any claims for defects unless he tells you what the defect he's talking about, or he says what value you have to be mochel, which he could say, you have a deductible, I'll repair anything if it's more than $1,000. That means that you're waiving everything up to $1,000. So if it's a davar shein katz, if it's something that is not clear, your mechila is meaningless, even though you wrote on the dotted line. Okay, so that's part one. In the next part, we get to our case of the warranties. Right, the case of the that we started with, Mishpatach Eliyakov's case, that you purchased the carpet, had a 2-year warranty, and after the 2 years, say, that's when you claimed that there were stains on the from the water, it wasn't water repellent as advertised, do you have a right to return it then? So at first glance we would say it's the same as part one, because what are we asking? Like we said in the beginning, we're asking you to be mochel your right to make a claim on a mum. When you buy something, you have the right to, like we learned last week, like the Rambam said, you can make a claim many years after the purchase if the defect was there at the time of the purchase. If we tell you that I'm selling it to you on the condition that you don't make any claims after 2 years, so I'm asking you, I'm selling it to you on the condition that you don't make any claims on defects after 2 years. There's no difference between after 2 years or immediately. Yeah, but listen to what you're saying. You're bringing up an important chiluk here. As what you're saying is that maybe a warranty is different, because a warranty isn't, like we spoke a few times, a warranty isn't the same thing as a mekach tos. A warranty says that I'm assuming that it's going to last 5 years, the tires are going to last that amount of years, meaning through wear and tear, I'm willing to guarantee that the wear and tear will take this use for X amount of years, and after that time, you just have to assume to budget that you're going to have to buy a new one. Right, that's what a warranty really means. A warranty means that I'm willing to say that the wear and tear I'll replace, even though I know that it wasn't there at the time, and we all know it wasn't there at the time of the purchase. When I sold you the car, the tire was brand new. There was no problem with the tire. It wasn't one of these recalls. It was a good tire. I'm just telling you that even if it wears down within 2 years, I'll replace it for you. If it wears down after the 2 years, so then I'm not going to replace it for you. Suppose you buy a washing machine and it has a 2-year warranty. So that means that if the motor burns out within 2 years, they'll fix it. Right? The motor was good for a year. Right? It wasn't a manufacturer's defect. They're telling you that they're going to replace any major parts for 2 years. Even though you know... Well, the nafka mina, he says, is suppose that you find after 2 years, you find out that a certain part that was supposed to be iron was really aluminum. Does the fact that they had a 2-year warranty void your rights to demand a refund when there was something inherently defective in the workmanship? There was a wrong strength metal where it should have been, and that's why it wore out after 3 years? Right? So Mishpatach Eliyakov assumes, and this is what his theory is, that the warranty is, you're right, it's not covering peripherals, windshield wipers, little things, but it is covering the major items, even though they were not damaged or defective at the time of the purchase, but they're protecting you against unusual loss in those 2 years. But if something was inherently defective, if you could prove that there was something that was inherently defective And you could look at it right now. You see the piece. You see that this is the wrong specification. It's the wrong size washer. And because of that, after 3 years, it wore out. So then he assumes that the warranty isn't going to void that right to return it, right? Even though you signed that warranty. That's one way of looking at it. What? Yeah. If it's something that really makes a difference, and because of, you know, it depends. If, you know, a washing machine is supposed to, if you go 50 years from now, you say, look, you put the wrong piece in, and that's why we're out 50 years from now, so that you know they usually don't last 50 years. So that, I think that would show that that's not something that makes a big difference. We're talking about a mun that everyone cares about, and you don't make a big purchase to wear out in 2 years. The warranty, and that's, I think that's what warranty is. I hear what he's saying, that I hear what you're saying, but I also think that there's three types of things here. We're talking about things that are really defective, the wrong material in it, right? That he's claiming is beyond warranty. That's a mum that you can claim forever. There are things which are just wear and tear items, which I think tires are included if you're buying a car, or windshield wipers or headlights, batteries, right? That they don't cover because that's normal usage. That's not called a defect. And then there are the things that it's like an insurance policy, that if something goes wrong which shouldn't have gone wrong, that's where the warranty comes in and says that the transmission goes, something like that, and it's a fluke. Transmissions go anytime. It doesn't mean that it was, it doesn't mean if you looked at it at the time of the sale, you could have seen, if you x-rayed it, that you could have seen, oh, this transmission is going to go 6 months from now. There's no way to know. They just go. Something happens with the combination of the heat and the pressure, however, and then something happens, it goes. So that's what the warranty is covering. So Mishpatach Yaakov claims, in the case of the carpet over here, it's true that the warranty for the carpet was only for 2 years, but that was talking about, like you said, that if it would fade from the traffic within the 2 years, you told me that this carpet was going to last for 2 years in good condition. If it fades before then, that's what you warranted. And I understand that if it's after those 2 years and that's when it starts fading, you didn't say that it was going to last that long. But if it was never water resistant all along and we just never had a big spill until now, and now the first time we have a spill, we see that it was never water resistant, there's something, and they took it to a test and they saw that it really wasn't water resistant, so that's something inherently wrong in the carpet, so that he claimed you'd be able to return even after the 2 years. Now it's not so simple. The Marisham says b'feirush, that the Marisham says that if there, his case was someone had sold something with an 8-day return policy, and the shaila was the ninth day he found the mum, can he return it? The Marisham paskins, if you find it after the 8 days, you made it tonight, called tonight Shabbat Mammon is kayum, and you can't return it. And he says furthermore, based on last week's shiur, that we said the Magen Mishnah's paskin, that if you could have seen a mum beforehand and you failed to, that represents mechila. Right, so why don't we say over there you didn't know what you were being mochel? Right? Our topic got tonight, right? The Shaila should be, you don't know what you're being mochel. Why does Mechila work over here if it's after the 8 days or the Magen Mishnah's case? So he says, because it must be that if it's something that you should, that you're able to test and you don't, so that's considered like you knew what was there and you were mochel it no matter what. You really meant Mechila. So he says the same thing over here. If you had it in your possession for 8 days and you were using it for 8 days, that means that you have 8 days to test it out. And if you fail to find the mum within those 8 days, so that represents mechila. And then he says, furthermore, since the minig is that we sign these 8-day warranties and you don't return it after the 8 days, so there's a rule that the minig is okay the halacha. So therefore, you cannot return it past the warranty date. It's what the Marsham says. It's passing by some of the Imre Yaakov brings it. So that's the thing. I don't know if it's so relevant to the Mishpatach Yaakov's case, because first of all, it would have to be something that you could see. I don't know if it means that, you know, buy a carpet, now you have to go pour water on it and see is it really water resistant, because, you know, as water resistant as it is, it's not going to be perfect. You're not mechuyev to give it all the abuse that it says over there. Like you buy a watch, you don't have to put it into underneath the water and see if it's really going to last. You don't have to spend your time returning it. You assume, okay, it's probably okay. But if one time it gets wet and it breaks, so then it could be that, well, I'm not sure. You'd have to prove that it wasn't good from the time of the sale. But if you could do that, so then I don't think that was mechila. And his second time is that there's a minhag hamakom, according to the Mishpat Nechel Yaakov, the minhag hamakom, the way he understands warranties, that's no kasha, because the minhag hamakom is for a warranty is for the wear and tear type items that break too soon. That's afterwards, after that period of time, you can't claim it anymore. But if something was inherently defective from the beginning, you see there's the wrong piece in there, the water repellency wasn't, the chemical wasn't put on there, so then you could claim it afterwards, and the minhag hamakom doesn't contradict that. But anyway, just something to know, that if we do go beyond the warranty period to return it, it could be that there might have been a mechila. We do have to deal with minhag hamakom, what the minhag hamakom is in such a case. The Mishpat Nechel Yaakov says that the minhag hamakom won't contradict what he's talking about, but there are cases where there could be a contradiction. The Marsham is basing himself on the Magen Mishnah also, and last week we said that most poskim disagree with the Magen Mishnah, so that also might not give the Marsham's Lashitasa. Last week he said that in dispute with the others that we do go with the Magen Mishnah, he brought a Radvaz that went like that. So, you know, that's just something to keep in mind. The third part of this year, in the last 5 minutes, is a third possibility of Mechila. And that is, the Chachma Shlomo, or Shlomo Kluger, brings a Shaila, and I still do this in Eretz Yisrael, I think, but he was talking about more of a storekeeper. You bought a box of Esrogim, and the way they sell them close. You don't look at them ahead of time. Right? In Eretz Yisrael, you can even just buy one. Like, there's a certain system where you can go buy one. They made sure that they have certain standards, and then you purchase it, and you're not allowed to return it. But he was talking about a whole case of Esrogim, and what happened was, when he took it home, he saw that they were mostly very, very bad quality. So the shaila was, could he return it?
He was a mocher himself. He's not going to use them
all. Right. He was a mocher, and he was expecting that he'd be able to make a better profit with it. And he sees, he takes them there, and they are in very, very bad condition. So the Chochan Shlomo, since I'm in Reish Tes, Sifes, and Choshen Mishpat, he says, there's a minhag tagarim. Right, we have a rule called minhag hatagarim. There's a minhag of the merchants. They even can impose a kinyan. If they say a certain thing's a kinyan, right, that makes it a kinyan. So if their minhag can make kinyanim, then minhag could also make mechila. You can't say, well, I didn't know what I was being mochel, right? This certainly was not what I was planning, but since that's the minhag is that you buy them as is, so that's the minhag. And you can't make any claim that it was defective. I wasn't expecting that. Bischek Shuva in our Simon says, and he's talking even if the price is much less than you should have been. That's even Bayona. Bischek Shuva says the same thing would be if it's something Bayomun that you bought. He talked about they sold closed boxes of glass, of window panes, or also closed boxes of Esrogim. So he says there also, you go after the minute. Now that's no, right. So that's what the Chacham Shlomo points out. He says, "Don't ask me from the halacha we said until now that you can't be mocher something that you don't know what it is." That's talking where the mocher knows what's going on, and I rely on the mocher. I don't expect him to do something that's going to ruin his business or ruin me. He's not a rotten person. He's going to be good to me. So you're trusting the mocher, and the mocher betrays your trust. So that's where we say your mechila is ineffective. You don't know what you're being mochel. But the case of the boxes, the mocher also didn't know what it was. So they both, that's what the price is. The price of a closed box of Esrogim is worth this amount. And when you're selling it, that's the price. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. Like they give a marshal, Pischei Choshen brings a marshal, like if you buy a certain land because there might be oil there, there might be gold there, and you find out there's no oil there, there's no gold there. You can't go back and say it's a mecca of toast because I didn't find any gold or oil. I sold it to you. You knew what the chances were. There's a possibility there is, possibility there's not. You're playing the risk, and you got what you paid for. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. That's your argument. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But if you know that it's really bad and you just put him in the box and sell him because that's a minig, that would be wrong. I think a mushel might be when you buy a gilo store and they have things marked irregular at a lower price. Right? So over there you take it home. Now, if you take it home and you find a spot or a button missing something, so that's irregular. You know what you were buying. That's the minig of mukum, and I don't think they should be mukum. You have to tell you, because the price of a shirt when it's irregular is half the price of when it's in perfect condition. But if you go home and it's like slashed in half and it's unwearable, so that's already going beyond what the minig is. Right. That's there has to be a minig. It has to fit into the minig. And that's Rogan Moss. It would be like that. If it has to be somewhere within the range, but you're right, if it's something you just didn't put it in the right type of box and they're all rotten, moldy, you know, they're spoiled, so then you could say, like, that's a Mecca Tos. That's not within the pale of normality. So tonight we've discussed the Mechila. Of what? He said that it's a Minhag HaMakom and you have to take it. Right, so we've had three cases of Mechila on Momin. The first case was, Even though you explicitly are mochel amum, it does not help unless you know what you're being mochel or a certain maximum amount of what you're being mochel. You said two reasons, either because it's davar sheino katziv or because you might not even sure if there's anything to be mochel. Therefore, in the case of the contractor with the house over there, even though you signed that you're not going to, you waive your rights to claim mekach tos, if it's something that was really wrong at the time of the sale, you did not lose your rights by making that claim. Then we said, if it's a warranty, there also you seem to be being mochel your rights from the 2 years. You have a permanent right to make a claim, and here you're being mochel that right. So there also we said the pashtus, it would not work. That mechila will not work on something that is defective from the time of the sale. That only will work for what the warranty is for the use of it during those 2 years. But something that was inherently defective and you could prove it was defective from the time of the sale, even though you purchased with that condition and you signed that you're waiving rights to claim a mekach tos after that time, that does not include the right to claim something which was really wrong at the time of the sale. And that's not going connected to minhag HaMakom if the minhag HaMakom is that the warranty will still be in effect, or that you'll be able to return it even though the warranty is no longer in effect. If the minhag HaMakom is different, if the minhag HaMakom is that the warranty means that no matter what's wrong with it, after 2 years, if you don't find it, you can't make any claim, so then the Marshan says that that's what the deal was. You had the 2 years to test it, to work it out. Like they say, you have 30 days to use it for free and return it for any reason. After 30 days, I don't know if you could return it. They told you, we're giving you 30 days to use it however you want to use it. And it could be at that point you wouldn't be able to return it. And then the third case, we said that if it's something that you don't, that both the seller and the buyer don't know the nature of it, that's just the nature of the thing you sell. It's land that might have oil in it. It's a closed box of esrogim that no one knows what's in them. So there also, we could go by minhag HaMakom, and even though normally we say mechila doesn't help unless you know what you're being mochel, but over here, since you're not relying on the mocher's goodwill, the mocher himself doesn't know what's in there, so in that case, the mechila will work. And in all three cases, we do have to be aware of what the minhag HaMakom really is. And if there is a clear minhag HaMakom to the contrary, we have to go by what that minhag HaMakom is.